Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning to you all. You are welcome to another beautiful episode of Everyday Muslim, brought to you by NPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. I am Rashida Adetunwoke Olaniyan. Today, we will be talking. It's a conclusion of what we've been having before. Today, the series, the fourth series of Walking in His Light, the life, mercy, and character of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This series 4 will focus on when the world rejected him and how the Prophet handled his pain. Joining us today, we have our guest who will be joining us virtually. That's Sheikh Munirudin Salahuddin Al-Miyadi. But before then, let's take this nasheed by Zain Bika Alanus.
Alone in this world, and there's nobody to count your tears. Just remember, no matter where you are, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you're carrying a monster load and you wonder how far you can go, with every step on that road that you take, Allah knows. Allah knows. No matter what inside or out, there's one thing of which there's no doubt, Allah knows. Allah knows. And whatever lies in the heavens and the earth, every star in this whole universe, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you find that special someone.
Yes, Allah knows all. Allah knows all. Allah knows all. And that's why we will be talking further on how the Prophet was able to handle his pain. Allah knows everything that we go through. Allah knows our pain, and Allah is surely going to give us the solution. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As I said earlier on, our guest who is joining us virtually is Dr. Salahuddin Munirudin Al-Miyadi. Sheikh Salahuddin is a lecturer at the Department of Foreign Language, Lagos University of Education. He is the Mudir of Zamzam Academy, Ota. He has a PhD Arabic Linguistic Studies at International Islamic University, Malaysia, PGD Nigerian Open University, MA Arabic Language and Literature from Lagos State University, Lasu, a BA in Arabic Language from Usmanu Fodio University, Sokoto. He also has a diploma as Zuleika Abiola College of Arabic and Islamic Studies in Abeokuta. He is the author of many books, including Learn to Lead. Join me in welcoming Dr. Sheikh Salahuddin Al-Miyadi. Oh, okay, I guess that's the next work. Okay, so let's continue. I'm sure you'll join us again. That should be the next work. Brief introduction of what today is all about. This is the fourth and final episode of our special series, as I said earlier on, Walking in His Light, the life mercy. Life mercy and character of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Over the past weeks, we have traced the serial through the three powerful lenses. In the first episode, we discovered who the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was before revelation. In episode 2, we reflected on his mercy, to the weakest amongst us. And in episode 3, we explored his unmatched manners as the master of manners. If you missed any of this, you can still catch up with episode 1 to 3 on our YouTube channel, Impact Everyday Muslim. Today, as I said earlier, we will be concluding and focusing on the deeply human side of the Prophet ﷺ, his life, how he handled pain, rejection, and loss. Though he was the most beloved of Allah, he endured most of the heaviest trials, mocked by people, stoned at Taif, boycotted in Mecca, and faced with heartbreaking personal losses. Yes, in all this, he never responded with bitterness. Instead, his answer was patience, dua, and mercy. In a world where many of us struggle with rejection, disappointments, emotional wounds, and griefs, the Prophet ﷺ's life provides timeless lessons in resilience and turning pain into a path closer to Allah. To help us reflect on this thing, we are joined by Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us again. We really appreciate. Everyday Muslim is brought together in collaboration with MPAC and the Women Radio. We will be our phone lines will be on shortly to make calls 0700-917-917. 0700-917-917. Prefer to use text or WhatsApp 081-559-17917. Sheikh, my first question to you. The Prophet was deeply loved by his companions, yet he also experienced severe hardship and rejection from his own people. Could you paint a picture of some of the most difficult moments of rejection that the Prophet faced? Hello, Sheikh.
Of Rasulullah, we pray Allah enables us to be able to digest, understand, ponder, and use it in our daily activities, inshallah. The Prophet Muhammad has been recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Allah confirmed in that ayah that the Prophet Muhammad is his own prophet. And he said in another ayah that it is rahmatan lil alameen, it's a mercy to the world. I want to confirm to you that the Prophet also lived a merciful life. He was so merciful to people, but unfortunately, like my sister has rightly put it, that in spite or despite the fact that the Prophet showed mercy to people, they persecuted him. He was loved initially. He was loved initially. I guess when they have not discovered that he was really calling them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going by what we have discussed here, I know you will have discussed all of this. But today we want to look at those persecution that he went through. Some of the pictures of the difficult comments and rejections of his people to him. Let's start from denial of his message. Look at it, when you came back from university and the entire world said your certificate is not relevant, how would you feel? Let's look at it that you have a wife or you have a husband. You've tried all your best to cook to make him happy whenever he returns home. All for him to say that, what are you presenting on the table? And he said, it's nothing. How will you feel? So the person of Islam was rejected. The first rigorous experience of Rasulullah was that His message was rejected. And who rejected it? His uncle. His people rejected it. Abu Labi said, when Prophet Islam invited them, that I want to see you, because they loved him, all of them converged, all of them gathered to see him. In fact, those who were not able to walk sent representative that, yes, we knew Muhammad, let's listen to him. That was when he has not invited them to Islam. But when he now said that, look at this mountain, they said, we saw it. If I told you there is a wild animal that is ready to swallow you one after the other, will you believe? They said, Ma jarrabna alayka kadhba. We know you for whom you are. You can never lie. Then he said, there's no any white animal that will swallow you. I just want to tell you that Allah is only one worthy of worship. Mm. That was the point of persecution, the beginning of persecution. Then Abu Labi said, Ali Aba Jama'atana Ya Muhammad, Tabbat Yadaka Ya Muhammad. Woe unto you, and to the hand you are pointing to signify the oneness of Allah. This was his uncle. He said, is this why you gathered us here? You stop us from going to our daily activities? Woe unto you. But because Allah has promised Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I will be with you and I will support you, then a revelation came. Allah said, Tabbat Yadaka, Tabbat Yada Abu Abi Lahabi wa Tabba. Then Allah rained course back to Abu Lahab. Let's take that and look at it from our own angle. If you want to call people from darkness to light, don't expect that it's going to be easy. They will not be ready to take it. So at-takzib is the first one. At-takzib bil risala, denial of his message. The second one, mockery and ridicule. When they discover that the Prophet Islam continued inviting people to the oneness of Allah, what they decided to do was to mock him. They departmentalize the punishment, the persecution, the mockery, the ridicule. You deal with him whenever he's talking. You deal with him whenever he's praying. You monitor him in his house and make sure you humiliate him. So the Prophet Allah went through a sukhriya while he's there. They will mock him. Look at this one that is calling himself a prophet. Don't mind him. In fact, there was a day that he went to market to invite people to the oneness of Allah, and everybody gathered listening to him. In fact, most of them were ready to submit themselves to Allah. Hmm. And one of his uncles again came and said, do you want to trust him? We chased him out of house because he ran mad. How will you listen to him? He's a mad person. So they named him, they gave him a lot of names. They call him poet, they call him sorcerer, they call him madman, they call him magician. And you read all of this in the Quran. They said he's magician, he's a poet, he's this, he's that. So these are some of the things the rejection of Prophet Islam faced. The next one is attack on his character. Because they had meeting, they had a lot of meeting. But there was a meeting that took overnight. What were they discussing? He said, how can we attack him? Someone said, let's call him a magician. Another person said, no, in Makkah, we know what is magic. People will not believe us. Do we call him a madman? He said, no, we have been calling him a madman, but people still believe him. Do we call him a sorcerer? All sort of bad names. So what they concluded on is attack on his character. Attack on his shakhsiyatihi wa amanatihi. So they started to do that. And they humiliate him. The next one is temptation. They tempt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They set different temptation in order to reject him. A lot of this will happen to us if we want to really call to the oneness of Allah, to the path of Allah. Temptation, humiliation, rejection, persecution. That persecution was divided into two, physical and psychological persecution. And that is what is happening in our own Islam today. Do you know what they do? We call it teshwi. Hmm. Teshwi is to change the picture of what you are trying to post to people. Hmm. Today, people, if you call anybody Jalil today, nobody is ready to bear Jalil. Because they have said Jalil in the film, I mean, in our own theater, you know what they call Jalil. Hmm. Hmm. Nobody is to bear Sikra because it is Sikra Sindodo, Jalil Oniso Ramani Oli, all this, I mean, thief, all these things they did to Rasulullah. So they changed the beautiful names to bad names, and they called him all sorts of bad names. Then we have assassination attempts. Assassination attempts, well,
hello, Sheikh.
It is like a hall where they had their meeting. Anytime they want to make a decision, they gather in Tarun Nadwa. And for them to be misled, Shaitan came around. They just saw an old man coming in. And they said, yeah, we have been looking for who is going to be the chairman of this meeting. So you are welcome, sir. Not knowing that it was Shaitan. And he shared the meeting. The conclusion of what they did there is what I want to bring out for us to know that Prophet Islam faced a lot of difficulty, especially rejection. So they have brought a lot of suggestions, but their conclusion was that, okay, choose a representative from every tribe, every family that will represent each family. So they add representative and they send the representative to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in order to assassinate him. They attempted assassination to Rasulullah. So they gathered at his door while he was still inside. What happened? Prophet Islam employed strategy. We call it strategic planning. What did he do? He asked Ali to sleep on his bed, and he himself was going. So they were seeing Ali laying on the bed of Rasulullah. They said, no, it's not possible for any of them to have slept on his bed. So they were seeing Ali, and Prophet Islam strategically was moving by them, and they said, no, we are not here for you. We want to meet Muhammad. Not knowing that it was Muhammad that was bypassing them. But before they, what did they do? They met him. They said, Haturidu malan, jama'ana laka amwalana. Do you need money? We are ready to give you all our treasures. We'll make you rich. Haturidu zawdan zawajnaka azwajana. Do you need wife? Who will divorce our wives and make you their husbands? Haturidu mulka malaknaka alina. Do you need to be a chief? Who will make you the chief of this country, of this town? The Prophet Islam said, no, I don't need either of what you have mentioned. If you go to Quran 18, verse 90 downwards, you will see the summary of what I'm, because this is the first question, I don't want to drag it too much. In that verse, you will see the speculations. They make speculation. They say, if you don't need any of what you have mentioned, then tell Allah that a river should gush out without digging the soil. We want a river to gush out if you are truly a prophet from Allah. They said, you cannot do that. I'll talk of Sama. Or before then, this is your house you are living in. We don't think you are a prophet of Allah. Instead of block and most room you are living in, tell Allah to turn everything to gold. Everything, your door, your window, your tiles, your roof, everything should be gold, glittering. They said, you cannot do that. I'll talk of Sama. Ascend to Sama, to the heaven in our presence here. Well, I know mina lurqijika hatta tunazzila alina kitaban dakraw. And for us to believe you are a prophet of Allah, you'll be ascending, we'll be seeing you. And we'll not believe you until you bring a book. And when you are coming, you say, this is the book I'm bringing, we'll see you physically like this. Not the one you have said that from Jerusalem you are sent to someone. We don't want that. How tatiya billahi wal malaikati qabila. They said, if you can't do that again, okay, tell Allah to come qabilan physically. Wal malaika. And the malaika will line up behind him. We say, okay, this is Jibril, this is Israfil, this is this. If you cannot do that, finally, he said, awtuskita samaa kama za'amta alina kisaka. Okay, tell Allah to make this summer, this heaven to fall on any of us. All of us want to be destroyed. Destroy us with that. And Allah said, kul al kuntu illa bashara rasula. Oh, you Muhammad, tell them, who am I? Am I not a human being like you? I'm just preferred over you by making me a prophet of Allah. That shows a glance at the persecution, rejection, humiliation that Prophet Islam went through at the beginning of his da'wah. Jazakallah khair.
Well, that is our affairs. Sheikh, one of the most painful episodes was that of Toif, where he was insulted and stoned. How did he respond in that moment? And what does this reveal about his character and relationship with Allah? Because I know that a lot of people being insulted once or stoned, you can imagine what is going to come out of it. Okay, I think we lost his like his connection again. Okay. While we await Sheikh to join us back, we will be opening our phone lines now to call 07-00-917-917. Prefer to use a text message or WhatsApp 081-559-17917. Okay, I think Sheikh is back. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm sorry, you know, I'm using one phone for receiving calls and so on. That is why.
Oh, okay, no problem, sir. I have the question that there was one most painful episode that happened in Toif, where he was insulted and stoned. And I know that comparing to what is happening now, if somebody should insult you once or stone you, you can imagine what's going to come out of it. But how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond in that moment? And what does this reveal about his character relationship with Allah? What lessons does his response hold for us about patience and forgiveness?
Jazakumullah khair. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not go to Ta'if willingly. Let me put it. It wasn't a trip of joy for him. Like someone will just say, let me move from Lagos to Kaduna to enjoy my life. It was because he was persecuted. He was given house arrest for 3 years in the valley of Banu Abu Talib. He himself and his family, Abu Hashim, no transaction of business, no marriage, no interactions. So he was there for 3 years. Look at it. House arrest for 3 years, 3 good years. It didn't allow him to do anything. You must not greet him, he must not greet you.
Wow.
You must not sell anything to them, they mustn't buy from you. Prophet Islam and his family was eating leaves.
Allah Akbar.
For good 3 years. That's why we tell people today who do not know about Muhammad, they are just saying rubbish about him. Now, coming to your question. He had to move. He had to move from Makkah to Taif, running from the enemies. Those who wanted to kill him. So he moved. He and his foster child, Zaid bin Haritha, they moved. And before then, he has asked his Sahaba, the companions, including some of his children, to move from Makkah to Habasha, Abyssinia then. They moved to Ethiopia. They moved first time. They moved the second time. When the Prophet Islam realized that this persecution was too much, and he couldn't bear it again, he had to run. Brothers, because your question said, how do we gain? What do we learn from that? The first lesson is that run away. No, you cannot cope with the persecution, the situation of wherever you find yourself. Do not say, this is my father's house. I inherited it.
So we should not stand and fight.
Don't stand and fight when it's not time for fight. The Prophet Islam later won when the time came. Do we refer to him as a coward? No, he's not a coward. Didn't he have Allah to support him? He has Allah. Was he not the prophet of Allah? So whatever, if you see that you have put in your humanly possible best and there was no sign of victory, move. So the Prophet Islam moved to Ta'if in order to seek asylum there. Let me just stay here. Maybe by the time I come back, my people will have realized. But what he met at Ta'if was serious. It was bitter. And that was 10 years after his prophethood. 10 years. Look at what he has undergone for 10 years. When he got there, he was insulted. He was stoned. What happened was, when he got there, he invited the chiefs in Toif, and they welcomed him. You are welcome. They did all sorts of things. They have not listened to him to know why he was there. So when he came around, he said, we don't want this in our own town. Definitely you were rejected from Mecca, so you want to stay here. What they did was they gathered all the children, they mocked him, they rejected his call, and incited mobs to stone him. They incited mobs, many people, the slaves, the children, those that, you know, when you want to incite people, that if you can, the more you stone him, the more you'll be given reward. The slaves that were hopeless, they incited them. Do you want to be free? Yes, stone him till death. And people gathered to stone the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zayd ibn Haritha, the foster child, jumped into the Prophet's front, in front of the Prophet, in order to defend him. No, you can't stone him. When he was bleeding, he had to withdraw too. They stoned him until his feet bled.
Allah Akbar.
And on his way, this is the Prophet of Allah, on his way, when he was bleeding seriously, the angel that was in charge of the mountain came to him. And he said, if you want me to crush them between these two mountains, there was a mountain in Toif at the eastern side, the second one at the western side. He said, I can crush them between the two mountains in Toif. What did Musa's land say? He said, no, I don't need Allah. I don't want Allah to crush them. But I pay. The compensation I want is that Allah should bring forth from their children, from their progenies, from their descendants, those who will appreciate this word and they will disseminate this message. That's another lesson. Today we want to curse people. They want to prove to them that you don't know, I'm afar. You people, you will die before tomorrow. If the Prophet has caused them to die, who will now embrace Islam? Go to Toif now and see Islam. Then another lesson from that is that the Prophet, when he could not see anything, any help from anybody, he resorted into prayer, supplication to Allah. He supplicated. I will read briefly the dua, and this dua, we are expected to have this dua with us, so that anytime we have any difficulties or any challenges, we read it. Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa.
Wow. I'm sure he'll join us again. We lost his connection. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim. Ya
Rahman Rahimin. Enter of Amru.
Hello, Sheikh.
Naam, are you with me?
Yes, I would appreciate if you could take the dua from the beginning again. We lost your connection there. Hello, Sheikh. Okay. We are the caller. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we lost the call also. Just join us, you are also Everyday Muslim on Women Radio. Hello, Sheikh. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I would appreciate if you could take the dua again from the beginning because we lost your connection.
Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala an-nas. Ya Arham ar-Rahimin, anta Rabbul Mustada'afin, wa anta Rabbi ila man takiluni, ila ba'idin yatahajjamuni, am ila aduwin malaktahu amri, in lam yakum bika alayya ghadabun fala ubali, walakin afiyatuka hiya awsa'u li, a'udhu bi nuri wajhika alladhi ashraqat law adh-dhulumat. وصلها عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة من أن تنزل بي أو تنزل بي غضبك أو يحل علي سخطك لك العتبة حتى ترضى ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. Summary. The Prophet Islam submitted himself to Allah and he said, "Oh Allah, to whom are you going to release me? Will you release me to the enemies who are ready to kill me? No, if you are you angry with me? Are you not pleased with me? Have I committed anything that will expose me to this persecution? Okay, if you Allah does not come to my aid, who will come to my aid?"
Hmm.
He now started to supplicate that you are the only one who can assist me. He did not say, "After all, I'm here for you. If you like, kill me now. If you like, take my life." You know, some scholars today will say, "Leave Allah. If he likes, he does it." He didn't say that to Allah. He didn't say that to Allah. He said, "In lam yakum alayya, in lam yakum bika alayya ghadabun fala ubali." I will appreciate if you are not angry with me, oh Allah. Does this mean that I've offended you? Does this mean that I've done something wrong? This is how a Muslim should view any fitna, any persecution, any challenges that come to you. You know, we will ascribe it to witch and wizard. Joseph said no. He reflected, just like Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he find himself in the way, what did he say? "La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin." And that's exactly what Prophet Islam did. So before the end of that dua, Allah sent the angel to him. Before the end of that dua, the victory has come to him. And it was when he was there supplicating and reflecting on another way out that Allah sent Nasr victory to him, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So primarily, what we can gain from his trip, his hijrah from Mecca to Taif, is that he placed mercy over revenge. He was merciful to those that were merciless to him. He did not retaliate. He told, in fact, in life and direct, the Malaika told him, "I'm ready to crush them." He said, "No, don't crush them. I need their descendants." It means the Prophet's vision is beyond the moment. His vision is beyond the moment. We had a lot of men who sold their houses because their children are not obedient to them. And they said, "Okay, you will not inherit anything." This is the biological children. They said, "Okay, I'll make sure I sell everything." Because the wife was not nice to them or was cruel to them, they will sell everything before they die. The Prophet's mission was beyond the moment. He forgives and prefer forgiveness over retaliation. What's concerned for the future generation, we want to eat it today, we want to have it and eat it all today. So this is some of the things we will learn from his migration from Mecca to Taif. And when he came back from Taif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him. Where did he go back? He went back to Mecca, where he left. He went back to Mecca and, re-strategized. He applied another strategy. Okay, if this does not work, let's look at this. Let's look at this. We lack strategic planning, and that's why we face a lot of challenges today. That's just...
Zakullah Karim. Before I move on to the next question, Sheikh, please can you give us the quotation of the where the dua is for our listeners who would like to go back to the dua?
If you could just type the dua of Rasulullah when he was coming from Taif, you will get it.
Okay.
That's the only dua he recited.
Okay.
Or you say, "Allahumma ilayka ashku. Allahumma ilayka ashku."
Okay.
It will complete it.
Okay.
And this dua, like our fathers will say, is mujarrab. What is mujarrab? They will say tested and trusted. Anytime you find yourself in any challenge, think of any challenges. If you recite it with open mind to Allah, sincerely, you'll be out of it, inshallah.
Zakullah Karim. Beyond the public rejection that the Prophet had, he also experienced some personal griefs. So that the loss of his wife, that's Khadija, his uncle, also, all these that happened to the Prophet. Can you tell us more about it? And how the people of that, how we of this generation can also see this, and how we can hold faith in Allah?
Thank you, Ma. You are referring to a situation that the Prophet himself referred to as Amul Husn. Amul Husn, the year of grief. It was so pathetic that the uncle that was protecting Rasulullah, that was giving him advices, that was providing him with supports and assistance, Allah called upon him. Not only that he died, that made Rasulullah to feel sad, but he did not embrace Islam. You know, he has tried for Rasulullah, even when Rasulullah did not know where to go, he was the one to say, do this, do this. And whenever the enemies of Islam came around, he protected him. So the Prophet ﷺ loved him so much because of his own contribution to his da'wah. So he tried all his best to make him embrace Islam. Instead of embracing Islam, he rejected Islam. Each time the Prophet ﷺ is trying to call to him, to dictate to him the kalimatu musharrafa, La ilaha illallah, he will stylishly reject it. Look at it. That's a lesson that you cannot guide anybody. It's only whom Allah is ready to guide. The Prophet was even telling him that you just say it mistakenly. I know how to defend it before Allah. Just let it come out from you unwillingly, without being deliberate. I know how to defend it. Before we continue, look at it. The Prophet was speaking Arabic. The man that this Abu Talib was speaking Arabic. The dictator was in Arabic. The response of Abu Talib was in Arabic. The conversation was in Arabic. Abu Talib was composing some other sentences that were longer than La ilaha illallah, and he could not pronounce La ilaha illallah.
Allah.
In fact, for him to even say this La ilaha illallah you said I should say, even if he was able to say that, it's okay. Instead of him to say this La ilaha illallah you asked me to say, he would say this kalima, this message you asked me to say, you would dodge that La ilaha illallah. So when he died, Prophet Islam was not happy. Then the wife of Rasulullah, we all know what the role played, the role being played by Khadija, radiallahu anha. Khadija tried to support Rasulullah. He released everything at her disposal. It was experience. We cannot just say it was experience than Rasulullah, because you know the experience of Rasulullah was divine. But it was experience. He was rich. He was influential. She left everything to Rasulullah, and he was able to enjoy those facilities to promote his da'wah. The same year Khadija died, radiallahu anha. The lesson from this, for the fact that you are a Muslim, you are praying fervently, you observe the Hajj, does not mean you will not be tried by Allah. The fact that you are a scholar, you are the one guiding people, does not mean that Allah will not try you. You may even be a scholar that is guiding other people's children, and Allah will test you with your own child. You try all possible best you can do to make him be on the right path, and he will go astray. So what will you do? Brothers and sisters in Islam, especially our sisters, the fact that you are praying, you are observing salawat, you are fasting every Monday and Thursday, that does not mean, okay, look at Aisha radiallahu anha. She was not blessed with any fruit of womb. She did not have any child for Rasulullah. So that is a test, a trial from Allah. How did the Prophet manage it? He was patient. He was grieved. He was very sad. He showed that sadness. Because if he did not show the sadness, he would not say this is Amul Husn. He described that year as the year of grief, year of sadness. But yet, he did not allow that to weigh him down. The support from Abu Talib was no more coming. The support from Aisha, from Khadija, financially, morally, with love, was no longer forthcoming. But he remained steadfast and believed that I relied on Allah. Some of us will say, no more help again. Allah, I need to go. I don't think I can survive again. That is what we lead a lot of people to go astray. So the person's not managed it. We should manage our challenges. That is challenges. Your own can come from anywhere. Allah in the Quran says, do you think you will be claiming to be a believer without being tried by Allah? لَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah said, we have tried those that have come before you. So that was a kind of a trial to Rasulullah. And it was said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Prophet was tried, he was persecuted, he was given a lot of trial, including taking the life of his wife, taking the life of his backbone, that is Abu Talib, and وَزُلِزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ مَتَى نَسْرُ اللَّهِ اللَّهَ إِلَّا نَسْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah said, he was shaken, he and his followers, his companions were shaken, until the Prophet himself said, oh Allah, when is your help coming? When is the help you promised coming? And the Sahaba were also lamenting that, when is the help coming? Then Prophet reminded them that the help of Allah is coming, and that is the help we are enjoying today. So remain steadfast. The help is coming. Whatever challenges you find yourself, Allah will take us away from it.
Say, inshallah, biqudratillah, inshallah, biqudratillah. Sheikh, I will take it from the last one that you said about the how the Prophet ran to Allah, the companions, and so on. What role did the community and the support of close companions play in helping the Prophet endure the times of pain? Can we compare it to what is happening now? Even the community itself might not even help out. Can you mention something like, okay, when somebody is, when you are in trial, and that's when a lot of people lose their faith, they go astray, going round, and even people that are even going to might not be the ones, the right people that they're supposed to go to, but they feel that that's where they can express their vulnerability. So what role did the community and the support of the close companions play in the times of the Prophet? Hello, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so just a recap of what doctor said. He said, no matter what is happening to us, okay, he's back. Hello, Sheikh. I think you.
I'm sorry. You know, people call. I'm sorry. My second line is off. That is why they used to call here. So the community of Rasulullah at large was nowhere to be found. There was nowhere to write them about the community at large, because they did not want him. But I want to talk about the immediate community. And when I talk about the immediate community, I refer to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is his community. They really assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Are you with me? Are we together?
Yes, we are.
They really assisted Rasulullah. Let me take it from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr was there for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why we want those that are abusing the Sahaba, that are abusing the companions today, that they should be very careful. Because these were the companions who were there when no one was there for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Surah Tawbah, Quran 9, verse 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَعَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْأُسْرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the community, those community that assisted Rasulullah, that were there for him. Because whenever he had anything, any challenges, apart from relying on Allah, he needed somebody behind him or beside him. So the Sahaba were there. The ayah I quoted said, Allah has forgiven them, those companions, because of what? Because of the assistance they rendered when the Prophet was in Sa'at al-Usra. The Sa'at al-Usra is what you have just described now. When there was no help from anywhere again, no money, no shelter, no body to assist him, to defend him except Allah. So Allah used the Sahaba, the companions, to in fact, in that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min ba'di ma kada yazigu qulubu fariqin minhum, that it got to a time that some of them were like, are we going to continue with this Islam? But they stood by Rasulullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu supported Rasul with his money, with his wealth. Umar radiallahu anhu supported Rasulullah with his influences and wealth. Uthman radiallahu anhu supported Rasulullah with his wisdom and his wealth. In fact, it got a day that there was a man in the town where the Muslims needed water, and that man was a captain. He would sell the water to them. In fact, sometimes he would deny them. Even if they bring money, he would deny them. So when Muslims were going through this tough time, the Prophet now called upon the Sahaba, who is ready among you to buy this well water from this man. They call him Uthman. And Uthman said, I'm ready to buy it. It was Uthman that bought the well, which was used by Muslims, and gave the kafir the money. So they supported him. Emotionally, they supported him. Morally, they supported him. Look at when he was really baffled about what was happening to him, and he needed to listen to Quran. Ibn Masud said, oh, you Rasulullah, do we read Quran to you, and the Quran was revealed to you? Rasulullah Islam said, I want to listen to it from another person. Yes, it was revealed to me, but let another person read it. I want to listen. And Ibn Masud started reading it until he read a verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the day of Qiyamah, Allah will invite everybody, every leader, to come and stand before his people. And specifically in that ayah, Allah said, oh, you Muhammad, I will invite you to come and stand before all your companions and the generality of Muslims that came after you. And the Prophet burst into tears, started crying. So it was the Sahaba that consoled him, that no, we did not mean to make you cry. And so on. So they rendered assistance. They were with him when he needed them. They provided him with support financially. They provided him with support emotionally. And that was why he said, La tasubbu ashabi, you must not abuse my companions. And he said, what they have done, you can never. There's nothing you are going to spend today that will be up to 1% of what they have spent and the effort they have put in. So, lesson from that. If we see somebody who is a da'iyah, and we know this one is truthful, sincere in whatever he's doing, we should support. We can't, it's not only with money.
Hello, Sheikh. Okay, just a recap of what Dr. Luyari has told us. He said we need to have a steady plan to be able to move forward. Lack of steady planning makes us fail. He also said that the Prophet wasallam had a vision beyond the moment at that time, meaning that
commensurate.
Okay,
they supported. I didn't know if you get the last point I mentioned.
No, sir, we lost the connection.
Oh, sorry. I said that one of the compensations was that there's nowhere you mention Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today that you don't mention those companions, the community where he left. How do I mean? When you want to relate any hadith now, you mention those Sahaba, you mention their children, Abdullah ibn Umar. And according to Abdullah ibn Umar, you pray for them. According to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, according to Anas ibn Malik, according to Jabir, even the women among them, you mention them. It means Allah has compensated them, Allah has rewarded them for what they have done when the Prophet was doing this dawah. Just like Allah rewarded Ibrahim, his wife Sarah and Hajar, and the children, Ishaq, Yaqub, Ismail, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu alam.
Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Just one. I know you have mentioned two different du'as for us. If you could help us mention maybe about two more, and where we can also get them in the Quran, at the same time, how we can make use of these du'as during our time periods.
Thank you. You see, there's a particular du'a. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlufni khairan minha. I repeat it. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlufni khairan minha. This du'a was recommended by Rasulullah, that whenever you are faced with any challenge or challenges, just pray that, oh Allah, Allahumma, oh Allah, ajirni fi musibati, relieve me of my trial, relieve me of my challenges, wa akhlufni khairan minha, and substitute it with the best one. That is, take me out of this persecution, out of this problem I find myself, and oh Allah, console me with a better option. Anytime you say that dua, definitely Allah will grant it. Then one day the Prophet was bypassing a man and had him supplicating with a particular dua. And the Prophet turned back and reassured him. He said, continue with the prayer you are supplicating with. Definitely there is a particular Ismullah ila A'azam. One of the greatest name of Allah is in that dua. Either du'iya bihi istajaba. Whenever he supplicated with it, whenever he supplicated to with it, he will yield to your request. Wa idha nudiya bihi ajaba. Whenever you request for anything, he will grant you. What is that dua? Dua is Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa anta al-ahadu as-samadu alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. I'll repeat it. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa anta al-ahadu as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. It's one of the best dua. Let me give you another one before another question or another step. There is another dua in the advices given by Rasulullah to Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr was one of the closest Sahaba to Rasulullah, and he said Prophet told him seven things. I'm not going to mention those seven things. He said, for success, you need seven things. The last one is what I want to mention. Wa an ukthira min qawlillah hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Fahiya min tahti kanzil arsh. The seventh one, he said, Prophet told him that he should read more often. What? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. There's no strength, there's no power except with Allah. And Prophet described it as he said, Wahiya min tahti kanzil arsh. It is from the throne, from underneath the throne of Allah, that Allah releases it. So anything we say it, we'll get the favor from Allah. And don't forget that if a sinner, if you are still committing sin, no matter no amount of supplication you embark upon, that's why we have Sayyidul Istighfar. Sayyidul Istighfar. Before you embark on any dua, you do Sayyidul Istighfar. What is Sayyidul Istighfar? Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, abu'u laka bi ni'matika 'alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfirli li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Summary, it's just like you are confessing to Allah, oh Allah, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. Forgive me. If you don't forgive me, I will not get whatever I need. So that is just wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khairan. As we wrap up this episode and series, we have seen that how the Prophet ﷺ, how his mercy is the character and resilience together from a shining light for the world. Sheikh, how does his response to pain and rejection ultimately reflects that it was, as the Quran says, an illuminating lamp for all humanity. And finally, what is one powerful lesson from his response to pain that every Muslim should hold onto as he strives to walk in his life today? Briefly.
The Prophet has a lot of responses to pain, but the first one is, he relied solely on Allah. He relied solely on Allah. Our problem today is that we look for a way out when we think Allah's way is not going to work for us. He relies solely on Allah. That's number one. Number two, patience and perseverance. He persevered and he was patient. You say we are too in haste. It was supposed to have happened like this. Why is it not happening like this? Maybe it is just an hour to your success and you will dream. So patience is there. Reliance on Allah, patience. And anytime the Prophet has any challenge, he resorted to what? He went back to sujood. He observed nawafil. Anytime you are feeling bad, just observe nawafil. Just observe, perform your ablution and observe nawafil. We are far away from us. The only time we need to go for tahajjud is when we have problem. It's a prophet's statement. Is there no Allah when you are enjoying? So when there is any challenge, Allah will know you. So we are expected to pass the night awoken. Some of us, we sleep all the night. So when we need promotion or when we need anything, that we go to tahajjud. A Muslim is not expected to sleep all the night. You remember what Aisha told Rasulullah, that why are you still observing our thing to the extent that your leg is swelling up? Prophet Aslam said, I'm doing this to appreciate Allah. Appreciation, not even looking for anything again. I that I need something, we sleep over the night. You that you need something, you sleep all the night. So these are some of the things that we need to do. And we should forgive. Forgive people who allow to forgive you. Don't revenge and don't avenge. Some of us will not revenge, but we avenge for our fathers that have died. So all these things may not really yield to good results. Jazakullah khair.
Jazakullah khair. And Sheikh, thank you very much. May Allah continue to enrich your knowledge. From what Sheikh has told us today, there are three most important things that we have picked. Number one is patience, reliance in Allah, forgive so that Allah can also forgive you. Jazakullah khairan to MPAC and Women Radio for this beautiful collaboration. Jazakullah khairan also to Michael, the engineer, and to Fumi, our producer. Hopefully, next week, same time, same station, I'm Rashida Aditu Okeolaniyo saying Masalam.